Are we starting?
No. Are we starting? Yeah, all right. Let me try this again.
Sorry.
Hey, I'm Christopher Springman. You're Dr. Paul Offit. Welcome to Body Language. It's great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Christopher.
You're the author of a wonderful book entitled Do You Believe in Magic? Vitamins, Supplements, and All Things Natural, A Look Behind the Curtain. What has happened in the culture to keep vaccination not only on the front page, but literally glued to our consciousnesses?
Yeah, it's the measles epidemic. You know, last year we had a measles epidemic that involved about 650 people. Now, that was the biggest outbreak we've had in about 20 years, but it didn't get a lot of media play, nor did it get, I think, much attention from parents. And maybe the main reason for that was that more than half of those cases occurred in an insular community in Medina County, Ohio, that was virtually entirely Amish.
Versus a non-insular community like Disneyland in Anaheim, California.
Exactly. I mean, and Disneyland is seen as a shared space. And I think even more importantly, it's seen as this sort of mystical, sort of magical place where children go to, in many ways, escape, and adults go to escape, you know, the routine drudgeries of the world. And now what have we done? We've brought, you know, measles virus into this Garden of Eden. I think it's biblical. So for whatever reason, for the last 2 weeks have been a tipping point. I have never seen people so angry at those who have chosen not to vaccinate their children, putting not only their children but other children at risk, as I have now. It's remarkable. I think it's a tipping point.
Disneyland has been billed as the happiest place on earth, but here's one of the issues that people seem to forget. Disneyland attracts millions of visitors a year from all over the world, and people literally who hours before just got off planes in Los Angeles from wherever they had been, South America, Africa, Europe, Asia, they're tired, they're weary, who knows what physical condition they're in, and they all show up at Disneyland. All of these, in many cases, well, with the measles outbreak, people we would call vectors were there, and they spread the wealth.
Right, and it's always been true that Disneyland was that, which is to say an attraction for people from not just the United States but all over the world. And you know, when we said that we eliminated measles from the United States in 2000, what we meant by that was that there was no American child to American child transmission. What we didn't mean by that was that measles wasn't coming into the country. It was coming into the country. It just had nowhere to spread because herd immunity was high. Now, because herd immunity has eroded, it's spread. So we have now, whatever, as of a week ago, 121 cases in 17 states emanating from that Disney outbreak.
We have achieved the perfect storm in this country. I live in Portland, Oregon. Portland, Oregon is number one in many respects. The lowest rate of high school graduation in the country. Okay, we'll accept that. Also, the lowest rate of vaccination in the country with over 6% of children unvaccinated. Now, the national median is about 1.8%. So, that is fairly significant, isn't it?
Yeah, get out of there. That's what I would say. Movies.
I see your point here. The fascinating thing about your book, Do You Believe in Magic? And essentially all the pieces, the elements of that book sort of slapped me in the forehead the other day when I heard a pediatrician in Los Angeles suggest that you want to find all the vaccine deniers? Well, go to Whole Foods. Take a map of Los Angeles, Santa Monica, West LA, Hollywood, and draw a 1 mile radius around any Whole Foods store, and you'll find a whole group of people at that clubhouse who routinely not only send their children to private schools, this is a little classist too, but do not vaccinate their children.
Actually, I think it's really simple. I think people just don't fear the diseases. You know, I mean, you didn't have to convince my parents to get vaccinated. They were children of the 20s and 30s. They saw diphtheria as a common killer of teenagers. You didn't have to convince me to vaccinate my children. I mean, I was a child of the 50s and 60s. I had most of these diseases. I had measles. I had mumps. I had German measles. I had chicken pox. I survived, but, you know, not everybody did. And I knew at least, very least, how miserable those diseases could make you. But my children, who are now 22 and 20, not only don't see these diseases today, they didn't grow up with these diseases. So it's far less compelling for them.
Well, the issue is out of sight, out of mind. Because we don't see it, it isn't there. And this is something that I really want to discuss with you. The whole failure, I believe, of the public health and epidemiological community, especially the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And I saw this on TV when Ebola popped up in Texas. And the usual suspects were rolled out in front of the TV cameras who said, now, don't worry about it. You have a better chance of being hit by lightning or by an asteroid than getting Ebola. Don't worry, the posse is here. We're the medical professionals. Everything is under control.
The line I like is that you're more likely to be married to Kim Kardashian or more at risk of being married to Kim Kardashian than getting Ebola in this country.
We have reached a tipping point in the culture where so many folks, in their effort to take control of their lives and those of their children, want a world of their choice that is natural, BPA-free, free of GMOs, and food with no additives, essentially a lifestyle of their own choosing that would seem to be inconsistent, especially when it comes to vaccination, with the overall needs of the society. People are looking in the mirror and they're not looking at the big societal photograph in terms of the importance of their participation in public health. Is that a reasonable statement on my part?
Yeah, but I think people have this false notion of their ability to control their environment. I mean, if you talk to, for example, people who are part of parent activist groups, I mean, like Families Fighting Flu or Meningitis Angels or National Meningitis Association, well, those parents all tell the same story. I can't believe this happened to me. I can't believe my child got meningococcus and died, or got pneumococcus and died, or got influenza and died. So you may think you can control your environment, but you don't. Also this notion of genetically modified foods and stuff. I mean, there's genetic modification that goes on all the time in nature, and not everything natural is good. I mean, I work in a hospital, so I see that Mother Nature can be cruel and, in fact, can kill you. So I guess I don't have the same view of the word natural as everybody else does.
As always, I'm happy to give you the final word here. Dr. Paul Offit, a pediatrician at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and the author of the memorable book, Do You Believe in Magic? Vitamin Supplements and All Things Natural. A look behind the curtain, probably one of the few physicians in America who routinely carries a security squad with him when he speaks in public. What's the word today on vaccination? Because as we mentioned earlier, the things seem to be getting worse and not better. But wait, let's remember that it took us a long time to get to this point in terms of the reduction in group or herd immunity. It's going to take us a long time to go in the other direction.
Yeah, here's what I would say. I think that measles, this measles outbreak is interesting because I think there's probably no better story other than measles to determine the strength of a national immunization program for two reasons. One, measles is highly contagious, and two, the vaccine is highly effective. I mean, we eliminated measles from this country in 2000, yet now, with an erosion of the number of people that are choosing to vaccinate their children, we have measles starting to come back. This year, it looks like we're going to have twice the number of cases of last year, so we could be over 1,000. Get to a few thousand cases and we'll start to see measles deaths again in this country, and it's just unconscionable.
Are you optimistic that because of the publicity that measles has received, especially at Disneyland, which went into a serious crisis management and damage control mode, obviously they were quite frightened by this. Do you think this may be one of the pivotal moments beyond the tipping point where people look closely at their reflexiveness when it comes to vaccination?
Yes, I do. I mean, I think it's been the debate finally is not about whether vaccines cause autism, which certainly isn't a scientific debate. Rather, the debate is about whether or not it's your right, as an alienable right as a citizen, to catch and transmit a potentially fatal infection. I thought it was ironic that Governor Christie from New Jersey stands up and says, I think this should be a matter of personal choice, when he lives in a state where car seats are not a personal choice. I mean, there's not a philosophical or religious exemption to car seats. Why? Because car seats can save your life. Vaccines are no different.
Dr. Paul Offit, a pediatrician at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language. It's been a joy.
Thank you, Christopher. My pleasure.
And much like measles, we'll be back.